This week I was reading about a frog that absolutely knew his destiny was to turn into a handsome young prince. But for confirmation, he decided to visit a fortune teller. The fortune teller brought the frog in and gazed into a crystal ball. She said, "Oh, I see something. You are going to meet a beautiful young woman." The frog was very antsy. "Yes, I knew it. I'm going to become a prince." The fortune teller continues, "From the moment she sets eyes on you, she will have an insatiable desire to know all about you. She will be compelled to get close to you. You will fascinate her." The frog was very excited. He asked, "Where am I? At a singles club?" The fortune teller answers, "No, biology class." Moral of the story, don't go to fortune tellers. Don't let them decide your destiny. Check out, friends, what God has to say. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that Israel had taken their relationship with God for granted. In fact, for years, Jeremiah, who became known as the weeping prophet, who was constantly crying as he was warning the Israelites against this, he continued to warn them. Yet these chosen people of God had over time decided that they did not need God in their lives. However, their choice to do things their way without God cost them dearly. It led to the breakdown of the family unit, of society, their society, of their nation. The result was that Israel was eventually carried away into exile. They were carried away into captivity to Babylon. What they learned and what we can learn today, friends, is this: life without God leads to no life. It leads to no prosperity. It leads to no hope, no future. Yet in the midst of this rejection of God and his ways, God speaks. He cries out through the prophet Jeremiah and offers them a promise. He pledges to prosper them. He pledges to give them hope and a blessed future. And let's read Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Let's look at that same verse from the Message paraphrase of the Bible. Jeremiah 29, 11. "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you hope, to give you the future you hope for." Isn't that wonderful, friends? What a beautiful promise from God. He is saying to you and I this morning, "Hey, I know what I want to do with you and your life. Just trust me. It is going to be awesome." God has big plans for you and I. You may not be in a good place now. You may think God has perhaps forgotten you and he has no plans for you, but he does. He does have a plan for each one of us. British sculptor, Sir Benjamin Epstein, was once visited in his studio by an eminent author and fellow countryman, George Bernard Shaw. The visitor noticed a huge block of stone in one corner and asked, "What was it for?" Sir Jacob said, "I don't know yet. I'm still making plans." George Bernard Shaw was astounded. "You mean you plan your work? Why, man, I change my mind several times a day." Sir Jacob said, "That's all very well with a 4-ounce manuscript, but with a 4-ton block of stone, you've got to have a plan." Friends, God already has planned our lives. He has carefully planned our lives. It's not just any old plan. It's not a haphazard plan. It's a plan to give you a good, prosperous future. Friends, in the midst of Israel's misery and heartache in Babylon, as they in exile there was constant danger that they would slip over the edge of despair, that they would become overwhelmed by their hopelessness, that they would shut God out of their lives altogether, and that they will start looking for answers somewhere else. When Christians are faced with failures, hardships, difficulties in their lives, there is a constant temptation to slip into despair, to shut God out, and to start looking for answers somewhere else. I've seen this, especially in the last 3 years, when some Christians are struggling, that they become disheartened. They slip into despair. They shut God out of their life. And they start looking for answers somewhere else. Do you know that some go to psychics, that some go to fortune tellers, that some go and fiddle with Reiki, that others try new age nonsense looking for answers? But be encouraged, friends, that God loves you and He still has a plan for your life. Amen. He is always there with His grace and His love. Let's look a little bit deeper into the passage and see what it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 14. God says, "Then you will call unto me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Let's look at that same passage in the Message translation. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me, listen, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. Now, isn't that a wonderful scripture, friends? Praise the Lord. Knowing God has a plan for you begins with knowing God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 12, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the thing of God, the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Friends, I remember two stories about a piano teacher that I shared with you a few years ago. In fact, it was, I think, in 2019. The first story about the piano teacher is this. A student who worked hard and served under a great teacher practiced 10 to 12 hours a day. He put his heart and soul into his work. His instructor, his teacher, always pushed for the best, and nothing less than perfection was going to work. The student worked for years under the master. The young man became a great pianist. And years later, he went back home for a concert and he invited the master that had instructed him to come. The day of the great concert came and the house was packed. The student played his heart out. The music moved the people. And when the concert was over, the crowd erupted in applause. They gave the student a standing ovation. And as those observing the young man noticed that he began to cry as he left the stage. The crowd cried out, "Encore, encore." But the young student refused to return. The stage manager pleaded with the young man to go back out, but the young man refused. And when the stage manager asked the young man why he seemed so upset, he took him to the edge of the curtain on the stage and pointed up into the balcony to an old man that was seated there. The old man was not applauding, and defiantly, he was not standing. The stage manager asked, "Who was the elderly gentleman?" With tears in his eyes, the young man said, "That is my master, and he is not applauding. I worked so hard to get his approval, but I have fallen short." Many people will use this illustration to say that we need to keep trying and trying, that we don't quite measure up, that God requires so much more of you, and that the master will be mad with you, that God will be mad with you for not being good enough. That's how some people will interpret that story. They will tell you that God requires absolute perfection. But that is simply not true, friend. God is always there with his love and his grace. He is always there in our problems and in our difficulties. God is, in fact, our biggest supporter, standing and applauding and encouraging us to keep going. God simply wants your love and your relationship. And that is why God created us, so that he may have a relationship with us. Listen. Friends, God wants a relationship with us. He knows that we're not perfect, and yet he loves us even with our imperfections. That is what grace is about. You see, God sees us through the eyes of Jesus. The second story about the pianist is more like God to me. Charles Swindoll gives the story called Don't Quit. Ignacy Paderewski, something like that. His name, I don't know how to pronounce it. Ignacy Paderewski, the famous composer pianist, was scheduled to perform at a great concert hall in America. It was an evening to remember. Black tuxedos and long evening dresses, a high society extravaganza. Present in the audience that evening was a mother with a fidgety 9-year-old son. Weary of waiting, he squirmed constantly in his seat. His mother was in hopes that the son would be encouraged to practice the piano if he could just hear the famous Paderewski at the keyboard. So against his wishes, he had to come. As she turned to talk to friends, this is before the concert, friend. As she turned to talk to friends, the son could stay seated no longer. He slipped away from her side, strangely drawn to the ebony concert grand stairway and its leather stool on the huge stage flooded with blinding lights. Without much notice from the sophisticated audience, the boy sat down at the stool, staring wide-eyed at the black and white keys. He placed his small hands trembling in the right location and began to play chopsticks. The crowd was silent as hundreds of frowning faces pointed in his direction. Irritated and embarrassed, they began to shout, "Get that boy away from there! Who would bring a kid to this concert? Where is his mother? Somebody stop him." And backstage, Paderewski heard the commotion out front and quickly put together in his mind what was happening. He grabbed his coat and rushed towards the stage. Without one word of announcement, he stooped over behind the boy, reached around both sides, and began to improvise a counter melody to harmonize with and enhance chopsticks. As the two of them played together, Paderewski kept whispering in the boy's ear, "Keep going, don't quit, keep playing, don't stop, don't quit." And friends, that is how God is with you and I. Amen? That is how God would respond. We live our lives which seem as about insignificant as chopsticks in a concert hall. But about the time we are ready to give up, along comes the master. Amen. He leans over and whispers, "Keep going. Don't quit. Keep on playing. Don't stop. Don't quit." You see, friends, the Lord is a great and loving Father. I heard you sing. He's a good, good Father. Amen? You agree with that? He will always be with us. He will carry us when we can't walk. He will, when we are down, he'll reach down with his loving hand and pick us up, dust off our clothes, and then send us back to live for him. He knows the future. He knows your future, friends. And his plans for us are good and full of hope. This does not mean that we will be spared pain and suffering and hardship and disappointment and discouragement and depression. This doesn't mean that. God never promises that. In fact, he tells us there will be many trials and temptations. Isn't that true? In our lives. He tells us that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And that the world will hate us because of him. But he also promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. A pardon? Oh, okay. He also tells us and promises us that he will see us through all disappointments and pains and hurts in our lives. He also promises that through all the failures in life, he will be there. He also promises that someday he will rescue us from this world of pain and heartache. He also promises that in him, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He also promises that he is preparing for each one of us a glorious home in heaven. Amen? Amen. That's an awesome God. God does not forget his people when they are in Babylon. He did not forget the Israelites when they didn't do the things he had told them to do. He did not, and he does not forget us too when we fail and we do wrong things and don't do the things he tells us to do. You see, even though the people were captive in Babylon, he planned to give them a new beginning and a new purpose to turn them into a new people. And we spoke about that last week, isn't that so? In times of deep trouble, friends, he may be preparing you and I, as he did the people of Israel, for a new beginning with him at the center. God wants you and I, God wants you and I, friends, to make him a priority in our lives. To make him a priority in our lives. Don't give him the rest of you. Give him the best of you. He needs you to call upon his name, and he will be there. He says, guys, he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Isn't that awesome to know that God has a plan for our lives? Amen. We have hope and a future. Not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. Without Jesus, there is no hope. In the New Age movement, they say that there are many ways into heaven and many gods, and that every religion is cool. Every religion is good enough. They didn't learn John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, no one, say that, no one comes to the Father except through me, but by me. Friends, allow me to give you the hope straight from our Savior, Jesus Christ. John 14, 1 to 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That sounds like a great plan. Isn't that so? That's a great plan that God has for you and I. I want to conclude. God wants us to make a conscious decision, friends. God wants us to make a conscious decision to follow his plan for our lives. And know that no matter what happens, no matter what kind of trouble or storm comes, that we will stick to his plan. David prayed, and so can we. Psalm 119, verse 5. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. That's from the Message. The King James says that my steps may be steady to keep your statutes. The New International Version says that my steps may be steady in obeying your decrees. Friends, we have to trust God and that he knows what he's doing. Amen. I told you the story a long time ago. You remember these stories. A family was awoken by a smoke detector in the middle of the night and discovered their house was on fire. The father ran upstairs to the bedroom of his children and carried his 18-month-old baby in his arms while dragging his 4-year-old son by the hand. They were halfway down the stairs. When the little boy remembered that he had left his teddy bear in the bedroom. So he broke free from his father's hand and ran back to his bedroom to retrieve it. In all the confusion, the father didn't notice that his son wasn't with him until he got outside. And by now, the flames and the smoke trapped the little boy in the second-story bedroom. Smoke swirled around him. And he coughed and cried out from the upstairs windows, "Daddy, Daddy, help me." His father yelled from below, "Jump out of the window, Andy. I'll catch you." In the darkness and smoke, the little boy yelled back, "But Daddy, I can't see you." And the father shouted back, "That's okay, son. I can see you. So jump." There is a true saying that goes, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." Isn't that true, friends? Don't worry about the future. Don't fret about what's coming down the pipeline. Don't worry about the things you can't see. It may seem dark right now. None of us can see exactly what lies ahead. But God tells us to trust him. God tells us to trust him. So he's telling us to jump in essence because he can see us. To take that step of faith so because he can see us. God promises us that if we call on him, if we come to him and pray, then he will listen to us. He will prosper us. He will give us an eternal hope and a wonderful, glorious future. Not only does the Lord give us a plan, but he also gives us the time to make right, to prepare for when Jesus comes again. Friends, he wants a relationship with you. Whoever is listening, whoever will listen, whoever is going to listen there, whoever is going to go on our website and listen to this sermon, listen, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, he's given you the time to do so. Why? Because he's got a plan for you, man. He's got a plan for you. You're not just in this world, dragging your feet. He's got this plan for you. Plans to prosper. Give me money. No. To prosper you and not to harm you. He's got plans to give you hope. He's got plans to give you a future. And we remembered what Jesus said. Let your heart be troubled. He says, as I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Man, that sounds like a plan. Hey? We're not poor, pathetic people because we believe in Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters and children of God. Let's just put that verse again. He says in verse 12 and 13, when you pray and come to me, I love this part, I will listen. When you seek me and you search for me, with your whole heart, I shall be found. You will find me. When you find me, I will restore. I will restore your peace, your hope, and your future. I will pick up the broken pieces of your life and put you back together. I will bring you back to myself. Amen. Friends, God wants you and I to understand this, and I want us to read it out loud. In closing, I want us to read it out loud. This is what God wants you and I to understand. The need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So let's trust him. Amen. You are here in all your splendor. We're saying that you are a good, good Father. And Lord, we meant it. We know that you are here. I pray that you would help everyone who's struggling, everyone who doubts, everyone who feels forgotten, that you would encourage them with what has been spoken from your word, that they are beloved by you and that you have a plan and purpose for every life. Help us, Lord, to walk in the newness of this and encourage us, Lord, to keep on keeping on. In Jesus' name, amen.